Chris Hansen. Pleased to have 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins in studio with us today. We're going to talk with Brad about a number of things, wildfire, redistricting, and transportation. Should we have the time? We'll definitely get to a little bit of all three. And Brad, I appreciate the time as always. Good to see you.
Good morning, Chris. Great to be with you in your cool studio.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. I was going to say, it's not that cool as far as looks are concerned. We love it in here, but it's definitely the coolest place, I think, in the building right now. So, and I run pretty icy as far as temperatures. Actually, I run warm, so I need this icy climate in here, and it feels good during the heat wave, obviously. Brad, let's jump right in. We got a number of things we want to talk about today. And speaking of heat, wildfire comes to mind. It's the summertime. This was a discussion we wanted to have the last time you were here, kind of ran out of time for. So fill us in on wildfire season and wildfire mitigation in general here within the 12th District.
Yeah, it continues to be a huge issue in the state. In the 12th District, we have an unfortunate history of devastating wildfires right here in North Central Washington. I've taken some steps at the legislature to pass some key bills. Other legislators have as well. The Department of Natural Resources is doing important work. We did pass a significant forest health bill just this last session that aims to try to put more air assets, you know, to be able to fight the wildfires soon after they start, rather than just managing them once they get burning. You know, that initial attack, I think, for fire suppression is very important. But over the long term, we need to continue to make big investments in forest management practices to clear out the underbrush and maybe have some more prescribed fire and do some selective thinning all throughout the forest. The U.S. Forest Service, you know, is a big landowner in this area too. So there's only so much the state can do. But with these hugely hot temperatures, you know, we need to be very cautious as we head into the 4th of July. You know, maybe just celebrate the community fireworks and be very careful about any of our own personal fireworks. But, summer season, I always get nervous, especially when the temperatures are so hot.
Yeah. Well, I was in Montana for a few days last week on some R&R, Brad, and I got to tell you, there were fireworks stands everywhere. They were popped up, and I don't know if they were all on reservation lands or what the deal was, but I was amazed at how many of them I saw, because they're just as dry as we are. The landscape is parched.
Yeah, and it's 111 degree heat, and I'm not one to tell people, you know, infringe upon people's freedoms, especially on a holiday like Independence Day, but just want to encourage everyone to be very mindful and very thoughtful about, you know, what we're doing. We have, you know, 111 degree temperatures, maybe more today, as you had mentioned. And, you know, we just have to be very careful about what's out there in the landscape. And you know, we just had all these year of COVID and everything. The last thing we want to do is be stuck inside because of all the smoke, and it's devastating to our economy and everything. So hopefully, you know, we can do everything we can to prevent the wildfires naturally, you know, put them out, you know, if there's a lightning strike soon after they start with this new investment in air assets. But also, you know, there's things we can do to avoid human caused fires as well.
Yeah. Well, there's a term that surrounds fireworks, safe and sane, Brad. And I think we're learning, you know, that safe and sane, you talk about these individual liberties, that's an individual liberty that you are responsible for. You have to be safe. You have to be sane, because as I think we're learning, no offense to your position in government, but the government, if we leave it to the government to keep us safe and sane, it's not going to work out too well all the time.
So, that's right.
Yeah. All right. Very good point, Brad. Let's move on and talk a little bit more about redistricting as well, because there was a meeting that took place yesterday on this. After the census is counted every 10 years, this comes up, I guess, across the nation. It was the 12th district's turn to at least kind of have its first or initial get together on this. So tell us more about that process.
Yeah, so Washington State established a redistricting commission many years ago, like in the 1980s. So it's not as much of a hard fought issue as in some other states, but every 10 years we rebalance the legislative districts based on population. So, and the federal congressional districts as well. But basically we have 49 different legislative districts in our state. And if you spread out a map of Washington State, looks like a bunch of different size puzzle pieces, because they're all supposed to be balanced based on population. So when I go represent the 12th district and take a vote, it's the same as a person in downtown Seattle who represents a similar size district, but a much more densely populated area. Well, with this recent census count, we have to do that same process again. The whole process should be completed by November of this year, and the legislature will take a vote next session to ratify the new districts. We do expect the 12th district to change a bit and other districts in central and eastern Washington, because the population counts, at least as reported by people who completed the census, are down a little bit in central and eastern Washington, and they're up a little bit in western Washington. So essentially what that could have the effect of is we still have 49 different legislative districts, or in the case of the federal congressional, 10 congressional districts for U.S. House, but it could move a little bit towards western Washington, because the central and eastern Washington districts will need to expand a bit geographically, whereas the western Washington districts will squeeze in a little bit geographically. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it is. So anytime you're making a map, you know, anytime we have sort of gerrymandering, I guess, going on, you've got some interesting times as far as those borders are concerned. Kind of a technical question, Brad, but it's I'm curious about this. Are there any, is there a possibility ever of sort of a representative or a district enclave that could occur, whereas, for example, like one could sprout up in the middle of an entire another district that's all its own and surrounded by another district?
Or? Usually not. One of the rules by the redistricting commission, they try to follow, you know, having certain contiguous districts, trying to keep entire counties together, entire city blocks. But you know, weird things do happen because, you know, they tried, you know, they have to kind of make those boundaries fit. And, you know, I certainly hope that, for example, Chelan and Douglas counties will continue to stay together as one legislative district. More likely than not, we will just grow a little bit. We could grow a little bit the 12th district into Kittitas County, for example. We already extend up to the Canadian border in Okanagan County. But as I said, there's going to be a shift over. And the politics of it all is that, you know, the central and eastern Washington Republican members, there could be, you know, fewer districts essentially over in, you know, in central and eastern Washington over time. And that could have an effect on the how the pendulum is swinging politically in Olympia too, as it's getting more and more difficult for Republican members to win in Western Washington. And over the next 10 years, that may continue to be the case.
Hmm. And for Eastern Washington, maybe a little more purple, it sounds like, potentially.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, interesting. We'll watch that process as it unfolds, Brad. I know you got to get going here, so we'll get you to that in just a second. First, want to talk transportation. Of course, some big news for the Wenatchee Valley announced late last week. Almost $100 million in federal funding for major road projects here, the Confluence Parkway being sort of the premier or the cornerstone piece of that. But talking about transportation, you were talking to me before we jumped on air here that, again, there is still the chance of a special fall session related to transportation in the state.
Yeah, so the majority parties in Olympia last legislative session were very successful in passing almost all of their legislative agenda. But one of the main items was a significant new investment in Washington State's transportation system, with new ferries and expanded roads and more maintenance and preservation of our overall system. And they came up a little bit short of that. And Governor Inslee did suggest that perhaps he would be willing to call back a special legislative session in the fall just to address transportation and to pass a new transportation investment package. Part of the last year's proposal included a lot of these projects that did get funded through this federal infra grant, which was fantastic. It's $92 million, included a variety of projects. It did not actually include that Confluence Parkway Bridge, which I think is a $130 million project across the Wenatchee River. So that's still a very high priority for me, as well as others. But if we do pass a state transportation investment package, we're going to need to pay for it. And that's just the reality, is that we don't pass things for new projects in Olympia without some additional revenue. It's either going to come from the gas tax or a combination of the gas tax and other licensing fees and other sources of revenue related to transportation. And those are unpopular. So the big conversation continues to happen in Olympia is just, you know, what do we need and how do we pay for it? And do people really want it? So those are all the things I'm going to be wrestling with over the next several months.
Well, we had Laura Merrill and Travis Hornby from the city of Wenatchee on yesterday talking to us about this. It sounds like that $92 million is representative of about a third of the money that's required to do all the projects, especially, again, that confluence piece, Brad, that we're talking about this morning. There's obviously some local match that has to happen with that, too, but then the state dollars are going to be necessary to really bundle it all together.
Right. So we're going to need the state dollars, and hopefully, you know, we can build the community support for something like that, if that's what the community wants to do. As our elected member, I represent this area. As we were talking about redistricting, I represent the people here, and I want to do what the people want me to do. So if people have thoughts or ideas on this or other issues, I encourage them to get in touch with me through my website at senatorbradhawkins.org, so I can understand, you know, how best to represent the people of this district.
Very good. Brad Hawkins with us today, 12th District Senator, 12th District State Senator, here with us in studio on the Coho Morning Show. He's with us on the final Tuesday of every month as part of the off season, I guess, if you will, from the legislative sessions, when he's with us every week from the Capitol in Olympia, or as was the case this year, actually from here in the Wenatchee Valley due to the COVID issue. Brad, I always appreciate the time very much. Thanks so much for taking some with us this morning. We'll talk again next month.
Thanks so much, Chris. Good to be with you.